Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers on the broadcast today. Congressman Joe Heck for the whole program on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday, trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
As a veteran, I know serving in the armed forces isn't a job, it's a calling. Joe Heck is a fellow soldier. He knows the dangers we face, and Joe is fighting to give our brave soldiers the best tools and training to keep America safe. And when they're home, Joe Heck wants our veterans to get the care and respect they deserve. To keep America safe, send a soldier. Joe Heck.
I'm Joe Heck, and I approve this message.
Closed captioning of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America forward. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, coming to you from Washington, D.C., we are pleased to welcome back to the program Congressman Joe Heck. Everybody's talking about their must-do lists for this final portion of Congress. I wanted to get your thoughts on some of the priorities. Let's talk about Zika funding.
Mm-hmm. You know, certainly has to be done. I think the bill that was passed out of the House that the Senate has blocked two times already was a good start. It provided $1.1 billion that would become immediately available. And we said, you know, we'll get through this fiscal year, and then we'll come back and look at what additional monies are available. However, the Senate wasn't able to get that bill done. Certainly something we have to do. We have to be able to do the research. As a physician, I want to make sure we get the research done. We've got to get a vaccine implemented. We've seen Zika spread throughout southern Florida, and we now have direct transmission cases from mosquitoes in the United States, not just travel-related. So it's going to become an increasingly important healthcare issue across the southern United States.
But it's also going to be a political football, right?
Well, but it shouldn't be. I mean, we're talking about trying to pass funding to help stop an epidemic. And so while the president wanted $1.9 billion, we came back with $1.1 billion, which would have been more than enough to carry us through the fiscal year, which ends the end of September. And then we could have come back and look at where we are, what we needed, and done an appropriation to carry on any additional funds that may have been required. However, the Senate Democrats blocked the bill twice.
Let's talk about another issue that's out there, which is stopping terrorists from getting guns. Where do you fall on this?
Well, certainly we don't want anybody who has a potential to do harm to be able to get their hands on a weapon, whether it's somebody who's mentally ill, whether it's a convicted felon, or somebody who may be a terrorist. So what we need to do is enforce the laws that are on the books, right? And they make sure that all the records that need to be in the instant background check system are in there. Make sure that if somebody who's not allowed to get a gun tries to purchase one, that they're prosecuted. Or if there's a straw man purchaser, somebody who's buying a gun as a third party for somebody who they know is not eligible to own a gun. We've got to go after that person. We've got to provide mental health services to help those that may have a propensity to do harm because of mental illness. And we just recently passed a comprehensive mental health bill out of the House that would help take care of some of those issues. So we need to take all those reasonable steps necessary to keep guns out of the hands of anybody who has a propensity to commit harm.
So what kind of pressure is there on you from the NRA, for example?
There's no pressure. I look at the bills that come through. I evaluate the bills to make sure that they don't infringe on law-abiding citizens' Second Amendment rights, and then support that legislation that would do the things that I just mentioned. In fact, I've voted for legislation that would provide more money to states to help them get the records that are required to be in the database into the database. Have voted to increase mental health services and to prosecute straw man purchasers and people who are known not to be able to own a gun who try to purchase one.
The next question is about defense authorization. And Politico reporting today that there's a big blow up with this leaked memo that the Pentagon is planning to pit the Senate against the House, and the threat of a presidential veto coming under a lot of criticism. Where do you stand on all of this?
Well, you know, as the chairman of the Military Personnel Subcommittee for the House Armed Services Committee, we've been focused on the issues like reforming the military health care system, providing a better commissary benefit, looking at pay and benefit structures. Those big issues will be discussed between Senator McCain and Congressman Thornberry, the chairman of the two respective committees on either side of the campus. This is a must-pass bill. We have never not passed the defense authorization bill since it was first started almost 54 years ago. Now, last year, the president vetoed the NDAA as well. And it was interesting because it was the first time the NDAA was vetoed for something that had nothing to do with defense. He wanted to use it as a leverage tool to get more non-defense spending. First time in our nation's history that the NDAA was vetoed for something unrelated to the Department of Defense.
All right, but what do you think about this leaked memo and the idea that the Pentagon is pitting one house against the other here?
Well, I think it's unfortunate that the Pentagon is taking that approach, right? We're supposed to try to work cooperatively. I mean, each one of the services come before the Armed Services Committee to present their case for their budget. We have to weigh the pros and cons of what they present and ultimately come up with a defense authorization bill that provides our men and women in uniform the resources they need to execute the missions that we ask them to do while taking care of their families and our veterans. And that's the job that's entrusted to the U.S. Congress. And so we have done our job in passing our defense authorization bill. The Senate has passed their version. Now, as is called for, we go together in conference and we'll work out the differences and ultimately come up with a bill that we feel meets the needs of the Department of Defense.
And do you think this is going to get done by the end of this year?
I think it'll get done by the end of the year. Hopeful that it would get done before we finish the month of September, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, and that's very optimistic there. You're also unhappy that the president is not supporting the 2.1% pay increase.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a formula in law that says what the pay raise should be for military members to try to keep pace with private sector wage growth. For the last 4 years, the president has attempted to authorize a less than full pay raise, which, honestly, in the law, he's allowed to raise it or decrease it by 0.5%. Well, each of the last 4 years, including this year, he has wanted to give the lower pay raise. And that has a real impact, especially on junior enlisted folks. You know, I heard one member say, well, you know, the difference this year basically comes out to being $11 a month. Well, $11 a month for, you know, a specialist with two or three kids, you know, over $120 a year. But it's not just this year's pay decrease. It's the one that they've had for the last 3 years as well, which compounds over time, which means that right now this year, that individual is probably losing close to $1,000 to $1,500 a year. That's a real difference. And when we have almost up to 22,000 military families on food stamps, I think we should give them the full pay raise that they've earned and that they deserve.
And what do you think when you read the Wall Street Journal in the last couple of days talking about the drone pilots that they're hiring that are private contractors that are making 2 to 3 times the salary of the enlisted men?
Yeah, so we have to do a better job at retention, and part of that is going to be addressed hopefully within this defense bill where we're going to authorize pilot retention bonuses. Certainly, you know, somebody comes through, they get trained up through the Department of Defense at taxpayer expense. They'll fulfill their commitment, and then they'll be enticed away by a private sector job. This goes to the very root of the reason why we have an automatic pay increase built into law to keep pace with private sector wage growth. We don't want to spend a lot of money training the best and brightest so that they go out to the private sector. We want to keep them in uniform. And so we need to address that issue, and ultimately it becomes more cost-effective to pay a pilot a retention bonus than outsourcing the job and paying a contractor.
All right, let's take a break. More with Congressman Joe Heck when we come back.
Nevada Newsmakers Goes to Washington is sponsored by Valley Electric Association, Pro Group Management, the Nevada Trucking Association, the Nevada Franchised Auto Dealers Association, and Capital Partners.
Sully's in Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch NFL and college football. With all new high-def TVs, including the pop-up, our 17-foot TV wall, and all new high-def TVs, cold beer, great food, and new TVs, Tamarack Junction.
I'm Hillary Clinton, and I approve this message.
This factory has been here since 1883. We have over 60 people here making shirts labeled Made in America. But Donald Trump's brand of shirts come from China, his suits from Mexico, his coats from India. Trump's products have been made in 12 other countries because he says there's no place in America that he can make them. Well, there is. You know, Donald Trump says he'll make America great again while he's taking the shirts right off our backs.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. What is Switch? The answer, they represent the most dynamic growth industry in the United States today. Data storage, the information of the world. Here they're building the first of many 1 million square foot facilities. It's in their new campus. It's for eBay. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevada.
Sully's in Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch NFL and college football. With all new high-def TVs, including the pop-up, our 17-foot TV wall, and all new high-def TVs, cold beer, great food, and new TVs, Tamarack Junction.
Closed captioning of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Congressman Joe Heck. The Supreme Court vacancy, do you think that the Senate will give Merrick Garland a hearing? And do you want them to?
Well, I don't know what the Senate's going to do. I mean, whether they decide to give a hearing or not, certainly within their purview. I don't see the downside to a nomination hearing. Whether or not that leads to a vote, again, is up to the Senate. But ultimately, it's going to be the Senate's decision.
Do you think that they may come to regret this if they don't make a decision, or do you think they're going to end up making a decision in the lame duck?
Well, I think that it's been talked about what they might do depending on the outcome of the November election, and then whether or not they try to push the current nominee through or wait to see what happens in January. Again, within the domain of the Senate and Mitch McConnell, and we'll just have to wait and see how they decide to play it.
I know that you're not going to get to vote on this, but I'm just curious to get your thoughts on Merrick Garland. Do you feel that he's moderate enough that you would be comfortable with him as Supreme Court Justice?
I haven't spent any time looking at his record because, again, I'm not over there taking the vote, and we've got plenty of bills over here that require my attention, so that's what I've been concentrating on.
All right, I'll let you go on that one. How do you think the spending bills should be handled? Do you want to see them done individually as, would be appropriate, if you'll pardon the pun? Or do you think we're going to end up with continuing resolutions? There's been some talk even in Politico today about doing some of the individual bills separately and then leaving others to continuing resolutions. How do you feel about this?
Well, certainly, ideally, we would pass each one of the 12 separate appropriation bills.
Okay, but which realistically.
Realistically. But, what my preference would be to, go through regular order, pass each one of the appropriations bills individually to fund each agency as appropriate. What I think is going to happen now is we'll wind up potentially with a continuing resolution, that we're going to have to pass before the end of this month because funding runs out on September 30th as we start the new fiscal year. The question is, how long will that continuing resolution last? Will it go till after the election or into next year? There is the potential that some of the appropriations bills that have passed may be put together and, kind of what's called an omnibus. Take the ones that have passed, put them together, and then do the remaining parts of government under a continuing resolution, but that'll be up to the appropriators and leadership in both the House and the Senate to determine the best path forward.
But what would you think? I mean, there's some talk about this going into, 6 months into the next year. Do you think that that's a good thing?
Well, I think if we look at the appropriations bills that have already been passed, if they can be put into an omnibus, that would provide funding for those agencies through the entire fiscal year 17, and that would be fine. As far as the remainder and the continuing resolution, I don't think it should go too far into the next year. I think that there should be an opportunity to come back and try to do a full fiscal year funding bill with the appropriate changes to programs. You know, continuing resolution just continues this year's funding at the same level with no policy changes. And so really it's not a good way to govern. The idea is to go in and make the changes necessary to make government more effective.
What do you think about these stories that are circulating and getting more and more noise that the Russians are actively involved in our election process? And, does that make any sense to you at all?
Well, we know that the Russians have tried to influence the outcomes of elections, you know, throughout the Eastern Bloc and into Europe, whether it's through propping up certain candidates, whether it's through media campaigns. So not unusual, certainly wouldn't be the first time that Russia's tried to influence the outcome of an election within their sphere of influence previously. What are they trying to do, or are they trying to do something here in the United States? I find it unlikely. But again, whether it's through a media campaign or whether it's trying to help one candidate over another, they've been known to do it before in other parts of the world.
I think in Nevada, if they were trying to do a media campaign, they'd have to have an awful lot of money at this point in time with all the media that's been booked. It was recently said in Las Vegas, to be serious, that you bear at least some of the blame for the failure of the compromise 2013 immigration bill that failed to pass through the House. Your thoughts on that?
Well, that bill never came up for a vote in the House. Naturally, if you want to look for a reason for the failure of immigration reform, Senator Reid had the opportunity to get a bill done when they controlled the House, the Senate, and the White House back in 2009, 2010, and it wasn't done.
Well, so, and part of that, and President Bush was in charge then, and Senator McCain was on board, but then politics got in the way. Senator McCain jumped off board, and that was the end of that.
Still, but when you control the White House and both houses of Congress, they were able to get the health care law passed. They were able to get Dodd-Frank passed. If immigration was a priority for them, they could have gotten immigration passed.
I think it's interesting, too, to note that even though you may control the House with 60 votes, I mean, with the Senate, rather, with 60 votes, that doesn't mean to say you're going to stop the negotiations from all sides coming at you, as we saw with Obamacare.
Well, certainly, but you saw that the health care law passed with no Republican votes in either House. So, again, depending on what their priorities were, if immigration reform was a priority for them when they had the White House, the House, and the Senate, and they had the votes to be able to pass Dodd-Frank and the health care law, they could have passed an immigration bill.
Let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll talk more about immigration right after this.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Chronic diseases like diabetes,
asthma, and heart disease
are the number one
cause of death,
disability,
and rising health care costs
in the United States.
Today,
more than 86%
of our health care spending
goes to treating people with chronic diseases.
I'm Ken Thorpe, chairman of the Partnership to Fight Chronic Disease. As the presidential candidates discuss their plans to address rising health care costs,
ask them how they plan to address the chronic disease problem.
Paid for by the Partnership to Fight Chronic Disease.
Telephone companies have complicated deals with contracts and hidden fees. But with Spectrum Internet, we make it simple and affordable at $29.99 a month when bundled. And there's no contract.
No contract at all with Spectrum.
Finally.
Spectrum Internet is the fastest you can get. At 20 times the speed of DSL, you'll easily have enough bandwidth for all your devices.
Our phones, tablets, all connected. And it's fast.
No slowdowns, no data caps. Everything is perfect.
With Spectrum Internet, I'm getting more for my money.
Get Spectrum Internet for $29.99 a month. Call 844-883-2999. With Spectrum TV, you get free HD, and all your primetime shows are free on demand.
We can always watch what we want, when we want it.
And Spectrum Voice is simply superior with no added taxes or fees.
And the bundle dropped our bill in half.
Get Spectrum Internet, TV, and Voice. Just $29.99 a month each with no contracts. Call 844-883-2999.
One family, one owner, serving Northern Nevada since 1964. As your Couture dry cleaner and alteration specialist, and the only cleaner of fine French linen. From Deluxe Laundry, our signature brand, to our expert drapery, blind, and window treatment cleaning service. From handbag cleaning in a clutch, to a nationalized partner in textile restoration. Bobby Page's, over 50 years of innovation. We're not just a dry cleaner, we're your neighborhood textile group. Visit us at bobbypages.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And Welcome back on Nevada Newsmakers. We continue our conversation with Congressman Joe Heck. We were leaving off on immigration there, and let's get back to that now. Sure. Where have you evolved to with immigration and immigration reform at this point in time?
Well, it really hasn't been an evolution. It's been the same platform that I ran on back in 2010, which I've subscribed to across the 6 years that I've been here in Congress. I believe that it's got to be done in a deliberative, stepwise manner. It can't be done in one comprehensive bill because that's where you find things unrelated to immigration reform being put in as sweeteners. I think that, of course, it begins with security. You've got to make sure, and it's not just the southern border, it's our northern border, it's our ports of entry. From a national security perspective, especially with what's going on globally, we need to know who's coming and who's going. So we've got to secure our borders. We need an interior enforcement system. You know, 40% of those here in an undocumented status came on a visa and just overstayed their visa. We don't track those individuals. So in a day where everybody's carrying a smartphone, you can't tell me that we can't send somebody a text message 10 days before their visa is about to expire telling them they need to come into the consulate. So we need to take care of that. I support a mandatory E-Verify system that makes sure only those present and legally able to hold a job in the United States are able to hold a job. And that helps protect against wage deflation as well as worker exploitation. And then I think you need, if we do that, you've got to have a viable guest worker program. We will have unmet needs, not just unskilled, but in high-tech areas as well. So we have to have a guest worker program that meets the demands that we have while not disenfranchising out-of-work Americans. And then you've got to move on to address the population that's here now. The first group that people talk about are the Dreamers, those children that were brought to the United States, no fault of their own. Many of them not even knowing they were here illegally until they graduate high school and attempt to go to college and find out they're not qualifying for aid or whatever they might be able to receive to go on to school. And I've always said that those individuals should have some pathway to citizenship, proposed legislation that would do so if they completed a degree program, a training certificate in a vocation, an apprenticeship, or completed a military enlistment. So that would address that group of individuals. And then you have the remaining adult population here in an undocumented status. And I think first you have to go after those who may have committed crimes or are criminals, and we should look for those individuals and deport them. For those that have been here for a period of time and are solid, upstanding citizens within the community, they should have a path to some type of legal status here in the United States.
And really, my thought is that most immigrants who are out of status don't necessarily care about citizenship. They just want to have permanent residence.
So there are even those that I've talked to who say, look, even if I could just get a guest worker program, right, I would go back to my home country and then come back to work. But I won't leave now for fear that I won't be able to get back to work again. So I think that there's multiple different ways that we can address that larger population of individuals in undocumented status, whether it's enrollment into that guest worker program I spoke about, if it's a pathway to some permanent legal residency, or a pathway to citizenship. I think those are the debates that need to be had. And it may be, you know, a combination of pathways or outcomes. But those are the steps that we need to take in a sequential manner to fundamentally address the flawed and immigration system that we currently have. And that also includes addressing the legal system that we currently have. You know, one of the reasons, not that it's in defense, but one of the reasons many people come illegally is because they're waiting 10 or 12 years to come legally. You know, somebody who's come through the process and is now a permanent legal resident or a citizen shouldn't wait 10 to 12 years to have to bring their spouse over from their country of origin. So we need to fix our legal system as
well.
All
right, but you've been here for a long time now, Capitol Hill. You've seen the way things work. The last time we had real comprehensive immigration reform was 1986, and that took from 1977 to 1986 to get it done. Do you think there's any way you're going to see immigration reform without it being comprehensive?
Well, I think it'll be comprehensive, but it doesn't have to be done in a comprehensive bill. Right? You can pass a bill for each one of those areas that provides an overall comprehensive approach to modernizing our immigration system. But the problem is when you get into a multi-thousand page bill, like the one that was passed out of the Senate, there were things in there that had nothing to do with immigration. It had no border security provision other than throwing $47 billion at border security with no real plan for border security. And so people want transparency. You know, the American public has a right to know what's in the bill and have an opportunity to be able to read it and digest it and not have to wade through 1,500 pages in 72 hours before it's coming up for a vote.
And yet that's the way things get done around here.
Well, it has in the past, but not always. I mean, we have passed several bills, you know, this year and in the 114th Congress that were much more manageable bills. And I would rather, much rather see a single subject bill come to the floor, be able to be debated, robustly debated, have all sides heard, and then move forward with some meaningful legislation.
But yet, you know, the president would love to see an omnibus bill where they could hang as many things on the Christmas tree as they wanted if it could get passed by the end of this year, right?
He would like to see that, but I doubt that's going to happen. Again, you know, we have to be more transparent and more accountable to the people that send us here to Washington. And the way to do that is in, you know, the bright sunshine of daylight and making sure that there aren't a lot of backroom deals or things being shoved into multi-thousand page bills at the last minute before a vote occurs.
Well, I think we are all optimistic that that would happen. We're just not sure which year is going to happen. Congressman Joe Heck, always a pleasure to have you on the program. We're looking forward to having a debate with you and your contestant here in the U.S. Senate race very soon here on Nevada Newsmakers.
Thanks, Sam.
We'll be right back.
Nevada Newsmakers Goes to Washington is sponsored by Valley Electric Association, Pro Group Management, the Nevada Trucking Association, the Nevada Franchised Auto Dealers Association, and Capital Partners.
It's Eldorado's Big Night Out, featuring the hilarious Mel Brooks musical that broke Broadway box office records, The Producers, live at the Eldorado Theater through November 13th. Plus, indulge in half-off dining at any of our award-winning restaurants with the purchase of a full-priced show ticket. The Producers through November 13th. For tickets, go to eldoradoreno.com.
I'm an absolute dentist.
I'm an absolute dentist.
We are absolute dentists.
Do you?
Do you?
Do you have an absolute dentist?
I am an absolute dentist.
Absolute Dental provides complete dental care at affordable prices for your whole family, including children's dentistry and orthodontics.
I'm an absolute dentist.
I'm also an absolute dentist.
And I'm an absolute dentist, too.
Do you have an absolute dentist?
Because you should.
Call us today to schedule your appointment at 844-8-SMILE-NOW or visit AbsoluteDental.com.
Happy anniversary!
We're celebrating our 39th anniversary with historically low monthly payments.
You'll get so much furniture for such low monthly payments.
There's no interest until November 2021 with equal monthly payments. That's right, till November 2021.
Now you get even more furniture for less, much less.
Historically low monthly payments.
It's our 39th anniversary and you're invited.
Come celebrate with us at More Furniture for Less.
I'm Dr. Brian Hansen. We at ProSpinal want to help you get back to a pain-free and active life without the use of drugs or surgery, and here's how we do it. Non-surgical spinal decompression gently increases the space between two spinal segments to slowly increase the disc height. As the disc draws back in, pressure on the nerve root is removed. The result, a non-surgical, non-painful procedure to get you out of pain. In most cases, our patients feel relief within the first 3 days, but if that's not the case, we refund the cost of care and refer you to the most appropriate physician. There is so much to do in the area. Shouldn't you enjoy doing it without pain? Our consultations are always free, so call us today. It's time to get your life.
On our next broadcast from Washington, D.C., U.S. Senator Dean Heller will join us. We'll see you on the next broadcast.